Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, democracy is calling, and trickster within us all is recruiting. So, welcoming fellow Libra dragon astrologer, pragmatic mystic, Rachel Lang, that we honor many things. We honor our teammate, true visionary activist, Zoran Mamdani, and all the descriptive and navigational guidance available to us all. Rachel writes, with a Libra sun and Taurus rising, Rachel weaves the astro-political worlds, one foot in the mystical, the other in municipal leadership. Yes, we want to honor that. Right, so have spiritually cultivated people engaged in governance. As a public servant who holds an elected office in Ojai, California, she brings her spiritual insight and creative vision into every decision. Rights of nature, believing that leadership should be both soul-centered and community-driven. Her website is rachellangastrologer.com. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Caroline. It is such a joy to be with you again. And we have things to celebrate today.
We want to honor No Kings, right? We'll play a short No Kings guide us in. And then we also want to honor the sad and the joyful. We want to honor the death of Melissa Hortman. And her husband, Mark, and their dog, Gilbert, will be lying in state this weekend, tomorrow, in Minnesota. There's many, many things. And then, yes, absolutely, Zoran Mamdani and wherever else we want to go. But let's begin with our short No Kings clip. Here we go.
There ain't no kings in the USA. You're not God, no matter what you say. You break your word, you steal and lie, but you can't break us, no matter how you try. Olé! This land is ours, and we are free, from the desert sands to the shining sea. Hand in hand, hand unbent, unbroke, you spit your hate, we wake, we woke.
You heard us right.
Well, so just to put everything on our altar here, our work altar is, you know, so celebration and grief. June 14th was full of that, No King's Day, and it was the day when Melissa Hortman, her husband Mark, and their dog Gilbert were assassinated. And I just, you know, and just to say again, so when Melissa Hortman was born, Gemini, opposite Neptune, you know, again, a voice for goodness, a truly wonderful, wonderful human. And her Pluto 24 Virgo, which is a particular degree of grief, not that her life had to end this way, but that we honor it. And there was a beautiful ceremony, First Nations people in the Minnesota State House also just doing grieving and honoring. And again, her body, her husband's body, and their dog Gilbert's body will lie in state starting tomorrow in the Minnesota State Courthouse. And I did just want to say that their dog Gilbert, I can get through this, was active in the community, you know, part of Helping Pets, Inc. They trained service dogs But then they adopted Gilbert. But he helped veterans. He helped people with illness. He helped disabled people. He helped people with PTSD. You know, and we go, ah. So just to honor the simultaneity of, you know, grief, death squads, and No Kings. That was all on that day. So I wanted to honor that, you know, and that their dog Gilbert will be lying in state with them, which I think speaks very well for humans. So there's that over there. And again, the passing on of the baton. I mean, you do speak to the dead on behalf of people, don't you?
I do, yes, on a regular basis, actually. In addition to in addition to astrology, I'm a medium.
I have no, yes, I admire that. I yearn for that. I don't know about that. I root for all that. That really great to be too, but to honor, you know, Pluto, because I do still pour coffee for all the beloved dead, the family relatives, and the everybody, and the cauldron of grief in the world, and the ancestors, and you know, every morning going hello, and I so. I know so many wonderful dead people that I want to call on, really. And so you as a working true mythology feel, I go, I wish they could all meet the fantastic dead activists, the you know Bob Goff and any wonderful humans that we would want their voices now. And I love the image that sometimes occur to me that I root for that to be true of the beloved dead, you know, cheering us on. Is that, can we do that?
And actually, Caroline, so this is something I don't talk about a lot, but I'm feeling like right now this moment is calling for it. Back in when I was 19, I had an asthma attack that allowed me to have a near-death experience. And I, just as others describe, I was flying through the tunnel and I was being drawn toward this light. And the closer I got to the light, the more I realized that the light was actually beings, and that there were all of these spirits, all these souls that were right there. And I recognized some of them as the loved ones in spirit, but I also felt like there was this whole, I grew up Catholic, so there was this the communion of saints, and there was all this love that was pulling me toward it. And fortunately, I one thing that I was able to, I didn't transition fully, but ever since I had that experience, I've been aware of the deep connection that spirit wants to have in our lives, and that there is this love available for us, and that we're being showered with it even when we don't feel it, or we feel so grief-stricken by some of the pain of the world. And now here it is many years later, and I when every time I have a mediumship session with a client, the message that comes through most often is, I am here. I am here. You're not alone. You're not alone. And so yes, we do have, so pour the coffee for the loved ones in spirit. Know that they're there. And then at the end, we are drawn into that love and we become part of that love. We become one with that love.
I'm we're up for experimenting and inviting in and the inviting in because we had a good time on High John Eve on Monday,
We did,
and we're
yes.
teasing that forth. And remember that these cultures, like Rachel, you know, and New Orleans, that keep the connections open between backstage and on stage and the living and the dead. And June 23rd is the holiest day in New Orleans. It's when High John the Conqueror, and I have. Yes, I have his oil right here. Let's bring him in. High John the Conqueror, the great folk hero, trickster, redeemer of the South, and Marie Laveau, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans. They walk the streets, right? So the spiritual, the metaphorical, the dead walk the streets and are available to be called upon. And just to tip our hat to High John and to Marie Laveau, my auntie mentor, really, you know, in so many ways. Zora Neale Hurston writes, you know, a great essay, always referred to, on Hi John in her collection of collected stories. And so Hi John, she writes, was not a man at first, but a will to hope. And then the will put on flesh, right? Magnetizing metaphor into matter, and with his drum. And he was a folk hero, as all folk heroes, interested in liberating the enslaved and the enslaving, and finishing everything off with a laugh, right? So that's great. And then, like so many myths, like King Arthur, you know, it says, Hi John didn't go away. He went to go reside in Hi John the Conqueror root. And I love so many women I know who are root medicine workers in Louisiana and stuff, like the roots. So Hi John goes to live in Hi John the Conqueror root to await the world's call at a time of danger. And we go, now would be really good. Just come on in, you know, everything to help us all. And it is like King Arthur at the end of the Grail legend, or it's not really the end. He goes away. And that's why you being part of the Ojai City Council is so wonderful, because the Grail legend is really an experiment to have spiritually cultivated people engaged in governance. And what passes for the end of the Grail legend, the spiritually hip people go away. Arthur goes to go take Pilates classes with the priestesses in Avalon, and Merlin goes off with the nymph, you know, with patchouli oil, who knows. But to await the world's call, right, we have this mythic theme of great metaphors and beings going away to await the world's call. And I think for all of us, no matter what, it's like, now call in everything. And we've got some great ancestors lined up to back up Zoran Mamdani in a moment, or whenever we get to it, pretty soon. So I love that calling in. And for everybody, just to, you know, who would you want narrating now or contributing now? Philip K. Dick would be a great narrator. That, come on in, Philip K. Dick. But Hi John, also in the, and yes, the, I'm going to sprinkle some Hi John the Conqueror root oil from the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. A little shout out to Forestville, California. Yes, here it is. By telepathy to all of us, really wise, liberating leadership. And I also have some fast luck oil. We try everything. And that idea of, you know, and David Graeber, and come on in, so useful. And just to say what I've said a lot, and maybe even said last week, but I'm always learning from David Graeber, and fabulous anarchist historian, cultivated person, deeply engaged in democracy, not only the Dawn of Everything that he wrote, that I still keep reading and listening to over and over, the Democracy Project, really genius, great thing. but calling him in and always learning. So I love, and I think I have said this everywhere, but I'm so enthused that the etymology of the word freedom comes from a Norse word, Frey, which means beloved friend. Freedom is beloved friend. And I go, oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. And the word civilization comes from civilis, which is dedicated gathering of citizens, not monuments, not a priesthood, not a celebrity. It's all that we're cultivating in our own citizenship. That's what a civilization is. And it's like, I love that thing. So
absolutely, yeah. It's interesting, because what I'm aware of as you're talking about this and about the Arthurian legends and the awakening of spiritual people who are practicing leadership that's rooted in spirituality, it's such a contrast to the dogmatic, judgmental approach of many of the Christian rhetoric. And I know that there are very incredible spiritual Christians. I'm not making a statement about Christianity specifically. I'm just acknowledging that having true spiritual leadership that brings us back into that sense of alignment with nature, with one another, that does emphasize community and freedom in the ways that you're talking about. I mean, that's where so much there's so much of a pull toward that many people are waking up to their own calling in the midst of that, of this wave that's happening, that I think is going to get even stronger as Neptune moves into Aries. It's what we saw last time Neptune was in Aries. There were all these spiritual leaders that were rising up in response to the abolition movement. That were coming out of that kind of wild Neptune Pisces spiritualism, smoke and mirrors period, and really rooting themselves in movements that facilitated social change. And Carolyn, I don't know if you know this, but I was doing some research about Neptune and Aries, and there the first time astrology was printed in major newspapers and publication was actually in abolitionist papers and as a rising in that movement when Neptune was in Aries. And so we have a template for where we're moving just based on looking at the historic data points of the last cycles that Neptune was in.
Right. And as many have pointed out, Saturn, which is our dedication and our definition of things and our capacity to dedicate to being cultivated citizens, is journeying for a long time with Neptune, dreams, vision, idealism. Absolutely. And part of the rhythm within us all really is 800 million planets in Pisces. Slowly they move into Aries, then they're going to retrograde, move back into Pisces, then into Aries. So it's dreaming, action, dreaming, action. And of course, the connection to Jupiter in Cancer, that we want to honor Jupiter in Cancer, the sign of its exaltation. Cancer has a lot to do with history. History is the womb of time. It squares those Aries guys. So Saturn, every time, many astrologers, and Rick Geer points this out, whenever Saturn's in Aries every 29 years, it's begin a whole new thing, right? So last time was cell phones, and before that, the 60s. We go, right, so begin a whole new thing. But now, and then connected to Jupiter based on informed history. We want to know history. We want to know about the first time that Gulf Oil and Churchill overthrew the democratically elected government of Iran, which was actually, we know, many of us know, 1953, but it was before that. It was 1923. There was a coup, but it was a coup in Iran that put in a progressive leader, and there was equal rights for women and no veils, and I mean, it was a kind of thing. And Churchill and oil, it all comes back to this and the threat to our lands, said, no, can't have that. And they overthrew it the first time, right? Going, no, suppressing democracy. Now we're back to no kings, right? So I love the bumper sticker from years ago that said, be nice to America or we'll bring democracy to your country, right? And it's like, right, in the form of kings. And then we know the 1953 coup. I know that because my childhood friend, Anne Roosevelt, her father was Kermit Roosevelt. We were one, no, we were 1 year old when he overthrew Mossadegh. But that's important too. And she's rummaging. I go, this is a good moment to say something, Anne, because it's been a terrible shame in her family. And the family doesn't want her to speak out, but it's like, you go. It's why, as childhood friends, we were sitting together, and I said, your father reminds me of a large rabbit in a bathrobe with a gun. And we didn't know facts, but he was a henpecked, weak, weak, weak man. And tyranny is compensatory. We need him. And just to remember
I love
for.
that. I love that saying. I just have to pause for a moment and
Yeah.
digest that. That is a great saying.
Well, let's make it a bumper sticker, right?
Yes, absolutely, Caroline. That's
Suck
another
the
one of your bumper stickers.
that's good. That's right. Cooperators are standing by, eager to make that a bumper sticker. And also just everything important, I think that's part of the pattern. It says to be informed about history. I love, clever wags, as we all know, those who do not history are doomed to repeat it, and then adds, those who suppress the teaching of history intend to repeat it. We go, right. Because everything about that coup in 1953, overthrowing the democratically elected Mossadegh, installing the Shah, The first time it didn't work, and the Shah really wasn't into it. And he's like, I'll just go back to the coffee houses of Gstaad, Switzerland, and hang out. And then Kermit Roosevelt with Gulf oil and Churchill, and Eisenhower, alas, right? Everybody, it's complex. Some good things, some bad things. Said, give it another try. And it was a budget coup. It was really just a very few thousand dollars that Kermit Roosevelt took and paid thugs to go through cities and beat up the press and beat up citizens, and beat up, leaders and beat up, union meetings and, and create the chaos from which tyranny can emerge. All right, everybody, we feel the resonance. It was cheap. All you need to do is hire some death squads, some thugs, some whatever. And so we're here to put many things on the table. And then what is the antidote? I'm very fond of, and this worked really well with Trump's birthday party. Let anything up to no good fizzle like a wet firecracker fart, like, which is a good water fire. Jupiter in Cancer,
Yes, it definitely is.
may the historic roots of democracy put water on any little fiery firecracker fart. Just fizzles. Is that, we're handing this out as a party favor to everybody, going, may it be, just again experiment with calling it in. So that's important for people to know the history of Iran, and how we have supported kings and over or we what and overthrown democracy many places. So no kings, and those who have died and who were assassinated, I mean, so many, but Melissa Hortman and her dog Gilbert and her husband, again, we call on them to hand us the baton to do such good things. She was maybe interested in being the first woman governor of Minnesota, many things, and it's like, may they continue. And then just to pass this back to you, Rachel, about the connection of the living and the dead. I love David Grimes was working. I had two beloved women married to each other for a long time in their late 80s, and they went skiing one night in the snow and came back, and one of them came down the next day and found her beloved, just dead on the floor with a smile on her face. And both she and David had a vision in which the woman said, oh, I get it. There's work over here too. Right, because they'd spent the last night not only skiing, but filing petitions to save the trees and the oceans and the whatever. There's work here too, and it's like, I'm up for you in New Orleans and everything in us that goes, there's work to be done backstage, right?
It's so true. And there's, whenever I connect with loved ones in spirit, or whenever I do a channeling or anything like that there, one of the consistent messages, in addition to I'm here, I'm with you, is that they're doing everything they can on that side to help us on this side. And what's amazing is that the ego dies. So a lot of the challenges that we have on a personality level, those get worked out. And there's this beautiful process that happens within families, where as the loved one in spirit is doing their work and healing, the person who's still alive is doing that. And I've most experienced this working with parents who've lost children to the opioid crisis or to addiction. Just incredible that the kinds of healing that takes place, it doesn't stop just because the person is no longer physical. And and I've definitely experienced that myself with loved ones of mine who have passed, is that they keep going. They keep working with us in however they can.
All right, I'm up for it. Again, experiment, experiment, experiment. Believe nothing. Entertain possibilities, and then when it, if you know it, you know it. That's great. That's great. So, and then just a little bit. We have another No Kings song coming up, and this is everything's useful, right? So I can I meet some great people on Facebook. I just it's yes, but nuance, complexity. So I got a message from somebody I didn't know, FNS Henderson. And he sent me a piece of, he's a socially engaged, doing cool things. We'll talk more about that. I'll talk more with him about that in Seattle. And he sent me the song that we're going to hear during our break in a moment, another No Kings song. It's really great. And it's like, oh, that's wonderful. And I go, may I play this on radio? And he goes, yes, let me know. Well, hello, if you're listening, FNS Henderson in Seattle, we will keep things going and weave things and the powerful music and drawing on, there's a lot that comes through his song that's, again, we want to draw on, like the song we opened with, but the power and music of South Africa, in which they it was the rhythm, the dancing, the singing that called in power, right? That called in power that sent, tremors up the spines of the tyrants, like ooh-ah. And we just want to encourage, and spiral forth all the ways we turn up. There's July 4th coming. We'll have a show next week, July 3rd for that. But many ways there's a No Kings thing, and then also people are like, how about no boom boom, no noise, no fireworks? And it's like all creatures and dogs would be really happy for that.
They would.
So no fireworks, no whatever. And many of the early civil rights marches were silent, and South Africa did this too, silent witness. There's music and celebration, and there's silence and grief. Again, our expanded repertoire of response, because there's no prison for the unexpected. There's another bumper sticker. Again, that's part of what we want to be, allied with in a trickster way. So, to grieve and maintain jauntiness, Wendell Berry says, be jaunty even though fully informed. We love that too.
Love that.
And while we're just queuing up No Kings for our mid-show break music, are there other beings we have a whole lot on the other side. Are there other people that you admire whose voice you would want to come into our community that you would want to form an alliance with?
Yes, absolutely. It's interesting when I very often when I'm speaking or when I'm doing anything that requires eloquence, I love to call in Maya Angelou. And so poetry, calling in art, some of the great, I had an opportunity to work with the Linda Pace Foundation in San Antonio and do an event, a mediumship event with Linda Pace and famous artists who had crossed over, and so bringing in the creative cooperators who are standing by, I think is also a gift. The opening up to all ways in which we can see and bring in beauty at this time when the world needs the beauty so badly, the contrast to the military parade.
And the whole realm of lineage, the south node of the moon right now is about connection to a dedicated lineage of craft. So to feel that each one of us, each citizen trickster participant right now in our council disguised as a radio show, can feel like connected to whatever each one of us is dedicated to feel the lineage of everyone who's been dedicated to that. I mean, for myself, I go, we can't live through the dead, but we can invite the best in them to live through us, to hand us the baton, as part of our dynamic. So yeah, Maya Angelou, right? And we have a whole bunch of people to call in to support Zoran Mamdani on the other side of the break. And let's just go for our break music for our new colleague, or new to me, known colleague, FNS Henderson, and his song, No Kings. Here we go.
They cut the cords that held us close.
But we still stand.
They fired folks. They broke their oaths.
But we still stand.
Stripped the aid, took the care. Cut the lights, said life ain't fair.
We still here. We still rise. Ain't no king above our lives.
They try to write our freedom out the law books. Erase our names, our pride, and our looks. But we're the heartbeat under every street. And we won't bow, we won't retreat. No king,
no king,
no crown.
No crown,
no crown,
no crown.
No
crown,
no thrones to tell us to sit down.
We rise up,
we rise.
We speak out,
we out.
Ain't no king gonna steal our shout. Her job. To every brother denied the care. To every grandma without her meds.
We still care. We still care.
To the ones they fired from the bed. Cut off dreams, left justice dead. You are not alone. You are not erased. We bring your memory into this space. We ain't marching just for show. We march for every no. For every door.
Oh, I think that's a great song.
Ooh, that was good.
That was good.
That's a great song.
It's a great song. And FNS Henderson, creator of that song, I don't know if you're listening, but I do, we'll give you lots of responses. He's like, give me feedback. We love that. No kings, no fear. We rise, we're here. Yes, it's community, rising, aroused. It is a great anthem, FNS Henderson. And may it be in the streets. And, you know, I've listened to it a couple of times, and that's really great. It's great with headphones on, and it's great. I hope you have a good radio system. But it's like, it's irresistible, the rhythm and the beat to participate. It's an invitation. It's a put fear into tyrants, and everybody in the community rise and undulate with this and chant it. No kings, no fear, no, we rise, we're here. You go.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
You go. Two Libras.
Two Libras, yeah. Well, I was just, it's like, this is the anthem we need right now. And it's such a so I love astrological cycles. I love looking at the history of astrological cycles. And when we look back at where Pluto was at this time, 250 years ago, that was one of the core tenets of the American Revolution. No kings, democracy, we're here. And so here we are again.
And
go ahead.
And remember the originating impulse team, like, even though it was a promise never fulfilled, but it's here now. Yeah, no kings, no fear, we rise, we're here. And that is a great guiding in, because Again, just for those who, astrology, just let it wash over you. For those who know it, yeah. But when I played Letitia James's incredibly rousing speech a week, 2 weeks ago, I can't remember. But it was so great, and I noticed that Pluto in the sky was squaring her Mercury. Now, some astrologers might go, and my Mercury too. And Zohran Mamdani's Mercury. We all have the same Mercury, 3-4 Scorpio, 3-4-5 Scorpio.
Yes.
And it's like, no, these are not passive things. This is the way to do it. And just to bring up, what I replay in my brain from Letitia James, keeping in mind Pluto squaring her Mercury, which some astrologers are like, oh no, it's like, no, this is the way to go. It in which she says, I was trained by adversity, I was tried by fire, because I'm from Brooklyn, I have a fellowship, my mission is clear, I'm focused, I'm prepared, I'm ready, I've been trained by the best. Even when I read her words in my not as impassioned and oratorical as hers, it's like I get goosebumps. And just, it's a good mantra. It's again, no kings, no fear. We rise, we're here. My mission is clear. I'm focused. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've been trained by the best. These are good, like, get up in the morning salutations, right? And
Right.
to look at Zohran Mamdani, so many, and of course Jupiter in Cancer, for all of us to protect everyone. He's got death threats, and everybody worthy has death threats, really, and again, to create a mantle of protection, a mantle of ancestral protection to place around the shoulders of all who are working for community good. I've been really diving in on Zohran Mamdani, catching up on a million things, and we have a clip of his to play in a moment. And what a great human being, what a great part of our team, and it is a relief. And so with Pluto squaring his Mercury, he can say with Letitia James, I've been trained by adversity. I have a fellowship, my mission is clear, I'm focused, I'm prepared, I'm ready. He really is. And his
Yes.
mother, Mira Nair, as I go, oh, I know her movies, Monsoon Wedding, many great movies, but and she's the founder of Mirabai Films. And we go, ooh, all of this, calling all heretics. So many people know the poetry of Mirabai. Great, I think I'm gonna get the century wrong, 14th century Indian poet, heretic, right? And this is part of what we come in Mirabai through Mira Nair, the mother of Zohran Mamdani. Mirabai was a heretic, meaning, right, no caste system. What is this? Her husband died. She was supposed to marry her brother-in-law, and she's like, "No, I'm going off. I'm going off to make love to the divine." And the family was shocked, shocked. And again, just the way, they sent her a poisonous snake, and she goes, "You sent me a poisonous snake. I wear it as a necklace. Thank you very much." A trickster heretic quality, for all of us to go, where do we resonate and bring this in? And we go, her famous poem is, I'm not gonna quote it completely great, well, but she says, because they were like, come back, and she goes, no, I have felt the magnificent sway of an elephant, I am in love with the divine. I do not need feminine wiles or these things, I have felt the magnificent sway of an elephant, and you want me to come back and ride on a donkey? Be serious. Right. Although we like donkeys too. But anyway, but so Mirabai Film says, ooh, the mother of Zohran Mamdani and the father, very cool too. So just to look at his chart for fun, so he is part of the Neptune Uranus conjunction in Capricorn. And it's all these people born in the early 90s who are really reporting in for duty. I'm getting m many start. It started about 20 years ago, really, where I started to get them the 1990s generation as clients. It's like, ooh. And I say to them all, and to Zohran for fun, I remember when you were born. Because I'm always looking, as we are, right, at the astrological patterns, and Neptune dreams in Uranus, awakening revolution in Capricorn, practicality. And I awoke from a dream with a loud voice, this hasn't happened since or before, that said, we must learn to work with water and imagination in a revolutionary way. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
And he's got that.
He does. And, you know, it's so interesting because I was just teaching last night, teaching an astrology, basic astrology class last night through the Theosophical Society. And we were looking at charts and I was describing this particular conjunction here. Because for those who don't know as much about astrology, when you have two outer planets coming together, they're the signatures that relate to themes that we see playing out in that particular generation. They're representative of consciousness shifts, cultural movements, and the folks who are born with those in their charts carry all of that energy forward.
And I keep an index card always, but without knowing Zoran's chart, you know, it's the Neptune-Uranus conjunction in Capricorn, 1821-1822. Okay, so for in the language, these are people who lived the liberating vision. And it's Harriet Tubman, it's Matthew Arnold, it's Clara Barton, it's Mary Baker Eddy, it's Walt Whitman, it's Sir Richard Burton, not the cheesy actor, the translator of the Arabian Nights. But again, just Harriet Tubman, Matthew Arnold, Clara Barton, Mary Baker Eddy, Walt Whitman. These are people who are masters of powerful liberating symbolism. And it's what the people born in 1990, 91, 92, 93, and Zoran Mandani have that. There's a lineage behind them. You know, and that's just, you know, the note card I keep always on my desk going, ah, and there's undoubtedly many, many more. But it's kind of a quality that those were people who really, these opportunities, you know, are given to everybody born in 1822, yeah, and some people work it, right? Mm-hmm. Many people born in 1991. But I will say, and Zoran's working it, and being it and embodied, mm-hmm. so much good, you know, and he does have the sun in Libra, very charming. And then Mars in Scorpio, mm-hmm. With Pallas Athena strategy and Mercury right there, strategy with a quintile to that Uranus Neptune, irresistible eloquence. He is so eloquent. Oh, all right. Let's play the clip that I have of him before I forget. Is that okay with you?
Great. Yes, please.
Okay. Let's play just a little bit of Zoran Mandani. Here we go.
Let me close with this. In these dark times, I know that it is harder than ever to keep faith in our democracy. It has been attacked by billionaires and their big spending, by elected officials who care more about self-enrichment than the public trust, and by authoritarian leaders who rule through fear. But above all, our democracy has been attacked from within. For too long, New Yorkers have strained to find a leader who represents us, who puts us first. And we have been betrayed time and again. After so many disappointments, the heart hardens, belief becomes elusive. And when we no longer believe in our democracy, it only becomes easier for people like Donald Trump to convince us of his worth. For billionaires to convince us that they must always lead. And together we have built a movement where everyday New Yorkers recognize themselves in our vision of democracy.
And he's done so much good. I mean, I'm watching him, his campaign. I'm going backwards to watch the campaign. You know, the taxi drivers of New York, you know, had these crippling, you know, to buy a medallion cost $1 million. And it was a sudden raise in price. And so there were cab drivers who owed $750,000. And many of them killed themselves because it was overwhelming. And, you know, Zoran stepped in and made friends with all the cab drivers. Very important. Cab drivers for the Egyptian Revolution, and David Graeber referring to that. I'll see if I get back to that thing. And then there's a wonderful thing of him getting in somebody's cab, you know, and going, oh, my brother, that's why he's here. You know, yes, I am with him, you know, again. And so and he changed that. He liberated, or with, always with. He's a community guy. and his bravery in answering. People go, well, what do you acknowledge the right for Israel to exist? He goes, I acknowledge all countries' right to exist as long as they're all equal, equal rights for all citizens. Yeah, say it, you know, let's go. I mean, that's a brave thing, you know, and people saying, you know, I agree with you about everything except your stance on Israel. But he's just, you know, like, yeah, and there's David Graeber, you know, and right now the idea of community, all we have is us rising and mutual aid. And he's so good that way. Remember, his Pluto is your that's right, your Venus, right? 19
yes,
Scorpio.
Venus. Right, right. Right.
The accursed degree of the accursed sign, which is
it
a person.
It is, I know, I love it.
Right, the it's a person draws back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. He's magnetically inviting, he's the part of our team, all of us doing this, inviting everyone to be a part, not a part, but a part of. And it's, right, and he's got, you know, eloquence and, which is the quinta, I think of, is really democratic because it's guiding people to their own direct perception. Yes, and he's very we. So I love that.
And I think that there's an asteroid Astraea, which is right next to his Venus. Within minutes apart. And this, you know, this asteroid represents resilience. It represents overcoming adversity. It's like, it's a tenacity. And being in Libra is a tenacity for justice, for fairness. And so I think that is such a, and it's so evident in anything he says and the way that he's run his campaign.
And again, the best medicine in the world, that Venus and Jupiter in Virgo, which is small acts of grace contribute to greatness with a beautiful collaborative sextile to the Scorpio, right? Sharp tongue, sharp insight with a kind heart. It's the best medicine in the world to see how sketchy and horrible things are and to dedicate to loving it anyway into the invitation, right? But by speaking truth in a way that is embracing and, you know, and he's a great embodiment of John Michael Greer saying, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, you will only get heat. What two needs is three, which is the unifying story. And he's a great artist at the unifying story. And again, just not to make anybody a celebrity, but it's like, this is in our public dream. We dreamed the Zoran Mamdani part of ourselves was being acknowledged and overcoming the old corrupt and bringing chanting and metaphor. Remember, he started off as a rapper, right? So it's also for part of all of us, you know, rhyming and metaphor brought back into public life. He speaks so well, you know, and again, as an inspiration for all of us, for all the chapters of our lives to be reporting in, you know, everything that we've ever done, the form in which we were doing it is gone, but the energetic dedication is there. So he's got the linguistic capacity dedicated to collective well-being. His Saturn's at zero Aquarius, Pluto squaring that, you know, and squaring his and opposing his Mars, right? So it's like, again, he and Letitia James, you know, it's like we've got a mission. If all of us, you know, things go much better navigating the underworld if we have a dedicated mission. And these are people who inspire us to do that.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And it's so interesting that you brought in Pluto, because Pluto, he has Pluto transits in so many different places in his chart. And Pluto is, you know, I think anytime we're going through a Pluto transit, but especially those squares and oppositions and conjunction, those hard aspects, we're always doing this dance with our relationship with power. And where do we source power? How do we feel about our own power? And here you see him rising from mission and mission informing his access to positions of power. And so I think this is like a quintessential Pluto transit story.
And hearing his rousing talks again, in very little notes, he's prepared. Like, I'm prepared. I'm ready for the, it's like the first time ever that I've really thought, like, wow, moving to New York, I want to move to this New York, right? You know, fairness and affordable and, you know, welcoming of all multicultural everything. And he's a multicultural being. He's, you know, 33 and his, you know, his mother's East Indian. And I mean, it's like, yes, this is such a great symbol. So of course, protection. But again, unabashed and so powerful that way, you know, and again, come on in to all of us. And working with the cab drivers, I never lose enthusiasm for quoting David Graeber talking to the Tahrir Square activists. Again, that was like, oh, almost okay. But at the time when tyranny was coming down and you couldn't gather and the press was suppressed, the activists around Egyptian Spring were like, oh, well, what are we going to do? But they noticed their cab drivers were very talkative. And as Graeber says, you know, at that time, if they called for, you know, a gathering for a woof, they were thrilled if, you know, a couple hundred people showed up, you know. And so they all the activists got into different cabs and they said to their cab drivers, we hear there's a gathering in Tahrir Square today at 4 p.m. 500,000 people showed up, right, because of the cab drivers, right? So it's like, if something's suppressed, it will bubble back up. Like, it's like, no, you can't have press, but you have cab drivers. No, you can't have cab drivers, but you got, it'll always go somewhere, right? Love that.
Yeah, and we're seeing it so much in our local communities with the No Kings demonstrations and rallies, but also just the way that, you know, I'm seeing it in threads on Nextdoor. You know, hey, ICE is here. People organizing farmers market trips for immigrants who are afraid to come to get food. This is a time when community, in the sense of the word that you were talking about, civilization in the context of community in the truest sense of the word, where we care for one another, we're showing up for one another. Despite any barriers, or we're not feeding into the fear of what could happen if we don't do something, and it's, you know, it's happening in every community that I'm aware of.
Right, mutual aid community rising, aroused. The fire trucks are chasing ICE out of neighborhoods. You know, it's like. And that was on June 14th. That was one of the most moving things. And again, all of our flexible, fluid, you know, unpredictable skills, self-organizing. You know, the cute No Kings I went to in Bethesda, Maryland, nobody told anybody what to do, right? Mm-hmm. And this is part of Graeber and all anarchist teaching. No leader, no kings, but everybody knew if it's dedicated citizens, and it was, then everybody knows what to do. And so everybody was lined up along the road, Wisconsin Avenue, you know, on both sides of it. They weren't shutting it down. So the road became a participant, you know, and so as people drove through, they honked. And I was especially moved at the, you know, the large construction trucks, you know, honking like, And it was goosebumps. It's like citizens, yes, invited. And it's kind of an Aikido move, which is don't block, guide. Don't block, guide. No need to block the road, include the road. You know, it's like, right. And so our strategy evolving, you know, just in each person, really. And I think that's part of the dynamic as we're here at Saturn Neptune, for each one of us to dedicate to our deepest vision, our unique contribution, you know, to the community, you know, and a community that honors everyone's individual unique contribution as well. These are challenging things, and I'm fond of a recently rediscovered word for us all, phantasmagoria, because somebody was suggesting a boring word, and I was like, no, how about phantasmagoria, which means a fantastic series or medley of elusive or terrifying figures or images. 1802, the name of a magic lantern exhibition brought to London in 1802 by a Parisian showman, Paul de Philippe Stahl. The name is an alteration of French phantasmagorie, which is said, blah, 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 which means a crowd of phantoms. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of how it is now, right? Isn't that a wonderful word? It's like we're in the phantasmagoria, and so we want to call on Neptune that reminds all of us, you know, solve a coagula, dissolve and reimagine. Or as Rev Ike used to say, if we can dream it up, we can dream it down, right? And to have all of the action and the metaphysical, imaginative, and the music, you know, I mean, all of that. So we want to dissolve the phantasmagoria and the and those possessed by it, right? There we go.
Yeah, and so it is.
So, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And, oh, and then just for fun, I just did, you know, I don't have a birth time for Zoran Mamdani, but noon charts, I like noon charts.
I have a birth time.
Oh, you do? Wow.
I have a birth time. It is an A-rated birth time, 1:15 a.m.
Wow. All right. Good.
Zero degree Leo rising.
Oh, fabulous. All right. So, with Saturn on the descendant, community for everybody. And the image for his Saturn is an old adobe mission in the desert being a cultural beacon. And, you know, we might compost the word mission as colonial and everything, but we take the gist of it and go right. So, well, that's super fun. And he's got pretty good hair. For Leo rising. But it is the positive performance, not performance, deep community magic. That's right. Great. But I still like the noon chart just for fun anyway, because it gives him a 23 Aquarius moon, which is David Graeber's sun degree. So just for the fun of it. But that's great. You have a birth time A-rated from our astrological scholars who are on it. That's super wonderful. And again, to weave deep insight for community well-being, to speak brave truth, for all of us, you know, to be soothsayers means speakers of the truth, which has everything to do with timing and motivation, you know, when to say and why. And he's very good at that. You know, and again, you know, with Stephen and again, rank choice voting, right? That's intrinsically democratic, and we got to really see that in New York, in which people made convivial alliances. You know, his alliance with his it starts with L, if somebody knows the name. But they did ads together, going, and he's my number two vote. You know, and he's my number two vote. I'm my number one vote. You know, again, it's like, yes, let's do that. There was ranked choice voting for five candidates. And that's how democracy can triumph, because, you know, and that's why Cuomo not seceded, but acknowledged, you know, whatever, folded early, because there was no way for him to get to whatever. Right. And we just close that path. People go, oh, but what if, you know, what if he's thinking of running as an independent, and, you know, Eric Adams too. And it's like, we just dissolve that, because that's part of the Saturn Neptune, which is to be dedicated to the desirable vision. So we're on our way out. Is there a last wish or blessing you want to spiral forth? Protection. Oops,
there is a last wish and a blessing for anyone who wants to get involved in local government.
Yes.
Get involved in your local communities.
That's great. All right. Thank you, Kirsten Thomas, greatest board op in the world. I'm Caroline Casey. Thank you, Rachel Lang. How wonderful.
Thank you, Caroline.
Blessings to all good people. Blessings. Yeah, anyway, woof, 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 woof. We'll reconvene next week on July 4th Eve. Woof.